Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Law enforcement officials have a lot of different techniques to determine whether or not someone is lying. One of the oldest techniques is to watch a person, and if he or she squirms in the seat, that's a pretty good indication that he's lying. Failing to make eye contact, stumbling over words as one tells his story is sometimes a good indication of lying. But about a year ago, some researchers at a university came up with a rather innovative, it's a simple, but it is a very creative way to detect lies. Police departments, at least in some parts of the world, are using this. People, as they're being interviewed, are asked to tell their story or recite the facts in reverse. Now, you would think that if you're being interviewed by the police, you start at the beginning and go to the end of the story. But there are some police departments that are saying, we want you to start at the end of the story and we want you to work backwards. Well, if you are telling the truth, that sometimes can be difficult if you are not trying to fabricate something. But trying to tell a lie in reverse is very, very difficult. Last week, we noted that lying is a pervasive problem in society. It's very common. We also noted, and as Steve read this morning, Proverbs 6:19, God says that he hates this sin. Maybe one of the reasons that God hates lying is because it is so widespread. Certainly, as we look at the scriptures, we find a great deal of information in the Bible about lying. For instance, and I want to read this morning, Psalm 58:3. David said that it's not uncommon for children to lie to the parents. The wicked are estranged from the womb, that is, very early in life. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Again, that's a little bit of an exaggeration for emphasis. But the point is that children learn to lie. And oftentimes, they learn this particular skill very early in life. I've met parents, and maybe you have as well, that think, oh, my child would never lie. Certainly, my child would never lie to me. Well, usually those parents find out that that simply is not the case. Good kids, still, lie from time to time. David said that children lie and reflective parents know that to be true. Now, not all lies are big lies. There are what we might call little lies. And a little lie, in some respects, though, is just as much of a lie as a big lie. When you look at some of the percentages that researchers have found, you find some very interesting statistics. 86% of teens are said to lie on a regular basis to the parents. A study of 50% of college students said that half of the college students that were surveyed lied to their mothers when they had conversations with mom. Well, God said in Ephesians 6:1-3 that parents are to be respected by their children, and if children are lying to mom and dad, that is a violation of this particular instruction. But lying goes beyond the conversations that moms have with, you know, their college-age kids and teens and the parents. Lies also occur between boyfriends and girlfriends. As I thought about this, I was reminded of the information in Judges chapter 16. You may remember that Samson found a woman that he really liked, Delilah. This woman was offered a huge sum of money to uncover the source of Samson's strength. And finally, Samson said, well, if you really want to know, if somebody gets 7 pieces of leather and it's of this particular kind and variety, that's going to take away my power. I'll be powerless, basically. Well, Delilah, of course, relayed that information to the Philistines, Samson's enemies, and Delilah, and the enemies found out that that didn't work. As you look at Delilah's response, Judges 16:10, she says that Samson had told her many lies. Boyfriends and girlfriends can have a number of good times together. But you know, it needs to be remembered, based on Judges 16 and some other passages in the Bible, that in some, or in many dating relationships, there are lies. We've seen cases where someone has said, you're the only one for me. Well, that didn't turn out to be true. It was a lie. Another said, I love you. But that statement was false. What was called love may have been lust. Young men have said to young women, you're not going to get pregnant. That turned out to be a lie. Young people have said to one to another, I'll be with you forever. Well, guess what? That night, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, forever had apparently come. They were no longer together. The Bible gives examples of unmarried people lying to one another. Well, if folks get married, the life after the wedding ceremony sometimes contains lies. In the Bible and in modern life, we find examples of husbands and wives lying to one another. Some lie from time to time. Some lead literally a double life. Lies are very, very common. A lie has been called by some researchers as the number one reason that people lose trust in someone. In many respects, that's true. Lies do break trust, and in some cases, that trust is never fully restored. Aside from family relationships, we find lying associated with the government. Tax time will be here before too long, and Paul said in Romans 13, verse 7, render to all their dues, that is, pay what you owe. If we pay what we owe, we're not going to be lying about what we owe. But many do not live in this particular manner. When tax time comes or another time comes, they lie, they cheat, they're simply dishonest. Our government has estimated that nearly 10 million Americans are not honest with their taxes. Our government loses about $200 billion a year annually because of fraudulent tax returns. Lying is done. It's often done, but it is not limited to taxpayers. A government may lie to its citizens. It may lie to other governments. Lying is a truly universal problem. It really knows no boundaries. Sometimes people say, well, you know, this is just a matter of diplomacy, and people blow it off. They excuse it. But God says, Proverbs 6, verse 19, that it is a sin. In recent times, we have seen just how awful and how significant lying can be. Company may say to its employees, oh, everything is fine. You don't have anything to worry about. The next day, the next week, it closes. A company says its pension plan is great. And, you know, a few months later, at the end of the year, it shows a zero balance. Executives have lied about their credentials to get or keep a job. Companies have lied about paying other benefits. And when these kinds of situations arise, oftentimes when people are hitting the pocketbook, they say, hey, this is serious. They lied. Yes, lying is a serious, serious problem. Lying can ruin a person's life, if not the immediate future, perhaps many, many years. Years of work, years of savings can be wiped out by a company that lies. Lying affects nearly every aspect or facet of our society, especially when money is involved. A lot of people lie about money. Think, if you will, for a moment about insurance companies. Is it not the case that medical bills are issued to insurance companies, given to, sent to insurance companies, and many times those bills are lies? An insurance provider may be billed for services that were never performed. Happens at least 5 days a week in this country. Or a bill is unnecessarily inflated. Lies help drive up health care costs. Lying is also a very expensive sin. It's a form of theft and stealing in some circumstances. In our court system, we find examples of lies. Witnesses lie, an attorney may lie. Now, we may give lip service to the truth. People are told to publicly tell the truth. And people say, well, you know, lying is really a bad thing. But we live in a country where lying sometimes seems to be more popular than truth-telling. When a country has not decided to be based on God and His Word, I suggest that lying is to be expected. When we teach people that there is no God, and by and large that is what a lot of our educators are doing right now, lying is the logical consequence. If it's true, that is the evolutionary line of thought, that we are nothing but advanced animals, and there is no God, and that's what a lot of people are arguing, why tell the truth? If there is no ultimate accountability to anyone but self, that is to your own individual person, and we are one day going to die and that's going to be it, why be truthful as we go throughout life? No God leads to the logical conclusion that lying is no big deal. That's one of the fruits coming from our public schools, at least in many places. In one class, children are taught about evolution. You came from a monkey, and you can trace that back to the amoeba or one other single-celled creature. And then the kids go off to another class, and they hear, now wait a minute, boys and girls, you need to tell the truth. You need to be honest about things. Lying is a bad thing. Why is it bad? Why should kids tell the truth? If our ancestors are animals, what is the obligation for us to tell the truth? Now someone says, well, now wait a minute. We can answer that. Telling the truth is the right way to live. How do you know? What makes it right? Someone else says, well, that wouldn't be how I would express a thought. I would say that lying is against our tradition. So what? We don't know that it's a good tradition or it's a bad tradition. What makes a tradition correct? Someone else says, well, we think we should state the argument in this way. The majority of people thinks that lying is wrong. If lying is wrong because the majority decides that it's wrong, what happens if one day we have continuing expansion of the population and they say anybody who is over 55 is simply going to require too much care. The majority thinks that anybody over 55 should simply be put to death. If we're going to establish morality by the majority, we're going to take a road that none of us really want to be on a little later in life. Cast God aside, as many in our nation have done, and we should expect lying to be a very, very big problem. And it is. 75% of people in one survey had lied to friends. 73% had lied to siblings. 69% of the people in the survey had lied to spouses. 58% had lied to their best friend. 49% had lied to their neighbors. 32% had lied to doctors. 21% had lied to ministers. And 20% lied to their lawyers. Lying is a great sin, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. Lying is so pervasive, so common, that it even affects preachers. Would it surprise you for someone to say, preachers lie? It's true. Back in the Old Testament, there is an interesting story, 1 Kings chapter 13. It is a story about an old prophet. And this old prophet met up with a young prophet. In that particular story, God says that the old prophet told a lie to the young prophet. Not only did the old prophet, the religious man, the preacher, lie to the young prophet. In that story, we find that this particular lie cost the young prophet his life. He died. Did the old prophet repent? We don't know. No indication of whether or not he really changed course. If he did not right his relationship with God, that man is not going to be saved. Today, a lot of preachers still lie. They know what the Bible teaches on various subjects like salvation, but they teach something else. They know that if they teach what the Bible says, they're not going to be popular or accepted by those who hear them. Preachers lie sometimes because they know that the people listening to them want lies. Do you remember 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4? It's the place where Paul said, preach the word, be in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And then he says down there in about verse 4, the time is going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But he says in verse 4, they're going to turn away from the truth. If you turn away from the truth, what are you embracing? You're embracing a lie. Paul said there are going to be people who want a lie, and they will heap. They're going to go out there and seek preachers who will tell them what they want to hear. There will be preachers who lie, and they'll do it willingly for pay. That kind of thing is still taking place. Jesus once said, Matthew 15, verse 14, if the blind guide the blind, both are going to fall into a ditch. Sometimes preachers lie intentionally. Sometimes we believe that they speak falsehood unintentionally. But when someone seeks to be a religious teacher, whether that is a preacher, that's a Bible class teacher, whether it's a one-on-one discussion with another individual, they had better be sure that they're teaching the truth. If we're not teaching what's right, we're teaching what's wrong. That is a lie. When people start to lie, it can quickly become a habit. One lie is often not enough. That one lie turns perhaps into a second lie, and then maybe a third lie is needed. When lies seem to work, and I've met some people, and you may have as well, they begin to think, well, hey, this works pretty well. I have found this free tool to solve some problems. Lying is not free. There are some consequences. It's also, in the end, not easy. It creates more problems than it solves. God is very, very serious about the subject of lying. He says, for example, in Proverbs 30, verse 6, that if we add to his word, that is, if we try to modify the scriptures in some way, God said we're a liar. People today, when they look at God's word, they think, well, you know, we don't have to follow this part of it, or we can do some things that are really not in there, add and subtract as they see fit, and God says, if you try that, you're simply not part of the truth. You're a liar. Well, that sounds serious, and it is. I've met a couple of people who said they're not guilty of sin. They're sin-free. They've never committed a single sin in their life, even though that they are adults. One of those men happens to live in this area. John says, if that's our attitude about our life, 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10, we are a liar. We're not telling the truth. Also in those verses, John affirms that anyone who claims to obey God but does not obey him is a liar. In our culture, a lot of people say, oh, I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Bible. I love going to religious service. I know a man, Teresa does as well, who has for Jesus every December a birthday cake. Now, the Bible does not support the idea that December is Jesus' birthday, but he's under the belief that that is the case. So he makes, his intentions are good, makes a birthday cake for Jesus every December. But you know, as you look at that man that I'm thinking of, and Teresa could call the details about him as well as readily as I could, he does not obey Christ. And the Bible says that even though he may make a birthday cake once a year for the Lord, he's a liar because he's not obedient. If we profess to believe and love Christ, but we do not obey him, we're on the wrong side of the fence. Now, there are some people who are offended by these things, but we didn't create the verses as a congregation. I certainly didn't write them up this past week. This is what God says. Obey me, follow my word just as it has been written, or you're simply not part of the truth. If a man chooses to deny Christ, and there are some who do that, John says, 1 John 2:22, that he is a liar. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 through 21, a man says, I love God, but I hate my brother. God says, you too are a liar. When you look at the word lie or liar or lying, lied in the scriptures, you find that it is applied to a wide number of things. And people lie for various reasons. There's some people in life who are chronic liars. That's just the way that they are. They got into the habit of lying. It seemed to work for them, and they continue to lie. There are others who are not chronic liars, but they are polite liars. They don't want to be mean-spirited. They don't want to be unkind to people, so they lie to be polite. Others lie because it's a convenient thing to do. Just makes life a little easier. Or some are lazy. So rather than tell the truth or do what needs to be done, they'll simply tell a lie to avoid doing what they should. We find other cases where people lie to make things or make themselves look better than they really are. They put on a show. Thousands of lies have been told to avoid either embarrassment or someone's disapproval. Lies are told to cover shame. Lies are told to spare someone's feelings. Lies are told to get money from someone or to take advantage of someone. Lying often has serious social consequences. People may lose their jobs. People may go to prison. People may lose their life. But as bad as some of the physical and social consequences are, the Bible says the eternal, the spiritual consequences are far worse. Revelation 21, verse 8. John affirms that there are going to be some people who are not in heaven. He nails it down. He says, these folks are not going to make it. On that specific list are liars. God has said, yes, this is a sin that he hates, Proverbs 6, verse 19. And it's also a sin that will cost people the loss of their eternal soul. What if we ask this question this morning? Have you ever told a lie? If we ask that question and we ask for people to raise their hands, I suggest that virtually everybody in this assembly, we've got a few that are probably under the age of one or under the age of two, they may not raise the hands, but for the most part, almost 100% of the people here have told a lie. In one way or another, it may not have been a verbal lie, but maybe by our actions or some of the other things that we talked about last week. In one way or another, we have lied, and God says he hates that. Well, that means that we've got to rectify that kind of situation. How are we going to deal with that sin? How are we going to get that offense removed from our record? Well, God says that unless we believe in Christ, John 8, verse 24, we're going to perish. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. We're going to answer for those lies unless we believe that Christ is the Son of God. Well, if we are that far on the road, then the next step is repentance. Jesus said we cannot be saved without repentance. Luke 13:3, repent or perish. It's pretty simple. And that means for the lies that we've told, for the things that we've done that have not been consistent with God's word, we've got to turn from that course and go in the direction that's right and true. When we are ready to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, the Bible says every single lie, every single sin, other than lying, can be forgiven. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins. Think about Acts 22 in this way. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away all your lies. That was true for Saul. But it wasn't true just for the lying. It was true for every single transgression in that man's life. That was a great, great blessing for him. It's a great, great blessing for all people today. Well, what happens if we become a Christian and we tell another lie? Well, we don't need to be baptized again. We have that example in Acts chapter 8. The example there is, if we are a Christian, we become a child of God by the plan that we outlined a moment ago. We repent, we confess, we acknowledge that sin before God. We continue back in the light, and the blood of Christ continues to cleanse from every sin. This morning, if you're someone who is struggling with lying or some other sin, and we can help you as a Christian, live in the way that's right. Will you let us know? If you're someone who's not become a Christian, maybe you can think back to a lie in your life or some other sins, and you know that you need to be forgiven, that forgiveness is available simply by responding to and obeying the gospel of Christ. Can we help you this morning to right your relationship with God? If so, please make that decision now as we stand and encourage you with the selected song.
If you give your heart to Jesus. us, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today.
Should we see it, please?
On the first day of the week, we are told that we should set